New Zealand today marked 1 week since last Friday's terror attack in Christchurch. Thousands of people gathered at Hagley Park, just steps from one of the two mosques targeted by a gunman. They observed the Muslim call to prayer, which was also broadcast on TV and radio stations all across New Zealand. It's just one of many examples we saw this past week of New Zealanders coming together to remember and honor the 50 people who were killed. Anna Fifield experienced some of that firsthand. She's a Washington Post bureau chief in Beijing. This week, though, she was in New Zealand, in Christchurch, visiting family, which is where we caught up with her. Anna is a native New Zealander and grew up there. I asked her to take us back to when she first found out about the attack.
I was actually on vacation in Thailand when this happened. I'd taken a few days off. But when I saw it coming across my phone screen, of course, I was just glued to it because it was unimaginable that this kind of attack could happen in New Zealand. We've never had this kind of terrorist attack ever before. So as it was unfolding and as I was watching the developments during the day and the death toll kept mounting and mounting, it was just a feeling of kind of shock and disbelief. And at the same time, as a New Zealander and as a journalist, a feeling that I absolutely had to be here to write about this. So The thing that's been really overwhelming in a way is the way that New Zealand has reacted to this. You know, this is not us is the refrain that I keep hearing. And that, that this is not New Zealand and that the country will come together to act on this. And indeed act we have. A mere 6 days after the attacks, the Prime Minister banned all assault weapons and the capacity to turn any kind of rifle into an assault weapon. So it's been very swift and very strong, the reaction.
I mean, the gun rights debate is one we've had in this country, as you know, so many times. For many Americans, it was the speed with which a law banning semi-automatic and assault rifles came about. What surprised you about the debate and how it played out in New Zealand after this attack? I mean, aside from the speed.
Yeah, well, I mean, the speed is the overwhelming, factor here. But the thing that surprised me, I guess, is that even the farmers have said, we don't need semi-automatic weapons for what we use our guns for. And even the conservative opposition party has fully supported this. They're, across the political spectrum, there is only one sitting MP who objected to this very rapid assault weapon ban, and he supports the ban in principle. The thing he objected to was the speed with which this is being rushed through. So there is very, very little disagreement on the need to ban these weapons.
You were speaking earlier about unity, and one symbol of that unity that I've seen that's been really impressive are these many evocations of the dramatic haka dance, this traditional dance by the Maori people. Isn't it an expression of warrior power? How has it been used to honor the victims?
Yeah, I mean, nothing gets me like a haka, especially after all these years away. It's been really beautiful to see that on the streets this week. So yes, traditionally, a haka was the ceremonial dance used in war situations to try and kind of pump people up to feel like unity and strength on one side and to intimidate the other side in a way. And so over the years, it's been used in rugby games, especially against Australia. But in this context, it's only one part of that has been used. It's this unity and strength and this coming together. So it has been amazing to see these spontaneous haka performed on street corners near the mosque and in the park and all over the place, at schools when Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern went into Kashmir High School this week. The students did this haka. And everybody does this haka. You see, Pākehā, New Zealanders of European descent, Māori, Samoan, Asian, every kind of New Zealander learns to do this haka. And to see this has been a real sign of unity and power of New Zealand people, I think, to be able to stand up to this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I've been feeling when I see them. We've been hearing so much news out of New Zealand this past week, a lot of it really poignant. But is there a story you wish was getting more attention, a story you want to tell?
I think, like you say, New Zealand has had way more coverage this last week than we are used to. Usually stories about New Zealand involve an octopus escaping from the aquarium or a sheep on the run. That's what makes the international news. So this is pretty uncomfortable. But I think the sense of tragedy in New Zealand, and the sense that the Muslim community is part of our community, and the way that New Zealand has rallied around this community to support them, I think is something very powerful. So especially to an American, to see this, it must be quite a surprise to see our Prime Minister and the Speaker of the House stand up in Parliament and say,
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, to greet the Parliament in Arabic. Also, women around New Zealand are wearing hijab in solidarity with the victims. I even saw a police officer with a huge gun at the funerals protecting them who was wearing hijab this week. So I think the way New Zealand has embraced Islam and adopted Islamic traditions this week has been something that is really remarkable. So I think this is the feeling that I will go away with. You know, I've never been more proud of my country, I think. So I'll go home feeling very homesick at the way we've been able to come together in the face of this terrible tragedy.
Anna Fifield is a native New Zealander based in Beijing now, where she's the bureau chief for the Washington Post. She was speaking with us from Christchurch. Thanks, Anna. Safe travels.
Thank you, Marco.
Listening to the haka, the rhythm just hits you like a punch in the gut. It is powerful. And that influences a lot of music made by the Maori people. In the same way you can hear the blues in Kendrick Lamar, you can hear the haka in the music of Y100%. They're a New Zealand band that employs poi, a percussive tradition among the Maori, as well as vocals. Mina and Maka from the band Y100% on vocals, featuring activist Julian Wilcox rapping in Maori. We give the last words to them this week, words that in Maori tell us not to forget the past. Remember, the song goes, whom you have descended from to be here now in this world. We come to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston. The world's theme music was composed by Eric Goldberg. We'll see you back here on Monday.